This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 26th, 2020, The Votive Mass of Christ the High Priest, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You are the sons of those who murdered the prophets.
Words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
It is a glorious thing that in the past couple weeks, two men who regularly attend this parish have gone off to seminary, and they are off to good ones. This is something to be lauded, both for their lives and prayers of their families, but it is something that is of a necessity for us to pray continuously, that these men continue in faithfulness. I was kind of struck by the opening prayer today in this prayer. Today is a ferial day, you know, that doesn't happen around here. So we're doing the votive mass for Christ the High Priest. With that thought in mind, that there are men who are from this parish who are in seminary studying to be faithful. And it struck me because in our day and age, what is faithfulness? Is it faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, or is it faithfulness to the winds that blow to and fro anymore? Is it faithfulness to go to Mass and preach about sin and about repentance and the love of Christ, or is it faithfulness to go and preach about the bishop's appeal, or to tell everybody why the church looks like a construction site now with all the yellow tape and footprints and caution signs that there are everywhere? What is faithfulness? We have to appreciate faithfulness, and we need to pray for true faithfulness of our priest. In that gospel today, it's interesting that our Lord, he speaks very, very direct and very, very accusatory words to the religious authorities of his day. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He's an itinerant rabbi. He's looking at the authorities of his day saying these things. Put it in our contemporary terms. Can you imagine, and you should imagine, and you should pray for and desire to hear simple priests stand in pulpits and say, woe to you, bishops and cardinals, hypocrites, and name names when it is necessary, but there are far and few between that will do this. We should pray that there are more. We need to appreciate them and what they do. That is faithfulness. What do we hear on that? No simple priest should get up and say that, because that would be disobedience to his authorities. Were these men not Jesus Christ's religious authorities? Okay? In his humanity, he was not one to despise or reject the law or the structural norms of how things were laid out. Does he not say in another gospel that, hey, you better be as righteous as, you better be more righteous than the Pharisees? Because if you're not, then all bets are off for you. You need to be holier than they are. Do what they say, but not what they do. Jesus, in both places, emphasizing priorities that we should have when we speak and think about the faithfulness of the men that are called to the priesthood in the Catholic Church. This is not being scrupulous over little things. Jesus actually addresses that in the gospel, not being too uptight over this little minutia and that over minutia, but to be faithful to the priorities that we should have as priests. Jesus uses an example, you strain at gnats, but you'll swallow a camel. It was a violation of the rubrics of the day to, you know, even by accident, if you happen to be in the temple and a fly flies in your mouth, you know, oh my gosh, you're unclean for this many days and you got to offer this up and everything. What Jesus is saying is that you worry about swallowing a gnat or a bug And because the law says that you'll be unclean if you do that, because that's an unclean animal, but you'll swallow a camel. What does he say? He's saying that you are scrupulous over minutia, but you commit serious sins. Bad priorities. Bad priorities. Again, we see it in many parishes in our day as we speak. Parishes that have mitigated the mass. I mean, I'm just talking about the way it has been for the past 60 years. I'm talking about mitigation of homilies are going to be shorter because we need to get the people out of there because of social distancing. That's straining at a gnat. It's a bad priority because temporal considerations are secondary to spiritual considerations. Yeah, put all your prudent necessities in place, but continue to celebrate Mass. Continue to venerate our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to be reverent. Be faithful. This is what our Lord is pointing to. Be faithful. Prioritize. Not to negate one over the other, but to prioritize one over the other. Temporal considerations versus spiritual considerations. Primary concerns. Primary concerns. This is what each and every, this isn't about just priests. This is about everybody. We should have primary concerns as Catholics. The cleanness of our hearts, the upright intentions that we have day to day, and consistency in our words and actions. That's like Christianity 101, to do what you're supposed to do in a nutshell, to have proper priorities. How much more should we be praying for these men who may become and are priests and are trying to be faithful? How much more should we pray for their faithfulness as it is manifest in their cleanness of heart? To live a life of chastity and obedience to the church is overwhelming. Many people, oh, they shouldn't have priests bow to that because that's unnatural. You're extremely right. You are absolutely right. It is unnatural. It's a grace. Priestly celibacy is a grace. Nobody holds a gun to the man's head. It says, get on the floor before the bishop, lay hands on you. Now struggle with celibacy the rest of your life. He's supposed to be discerning that in seminary. And he needs to choose where to go as to whether or not it's emphasized or not, or whether it's criticized and bad-mouthed, but taught. And his formation is girded up with the truths of the church concerning it. His cleanness of heart. His cleanness of heart and being faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to shy away from ridicule. Who are leads to upright intentions. In this day and age, we have reached a point where it is no longer, we've gone way past how could you say that? How could you name names? How could you criticize what these people are doing, what these people are saying? We're beyond that spurious, fallacious charity that we hear about all the time. It is uncharitable for Catholic souls to be exposed to bad priests. That's all there is to it. And it needs to be fixed. And it's going to be fixed starting in our parishes by prayer for these men who are studying for the priesthood, that they would be shielded against false teachings and modernist inclinations, the modernist presentation of the gospel, modernism, St. Pope Pius X, modernism. The vast majority of Catholics, we live in a modern church. That's why we're doing the things, because we're modernists. Pope St. Pius X says modernism is the sum of all heresies. It's not a heresy. It's the sum of all heresies. Nothing good in it. It's all badness. We need to ask that our men are shielded from any influence in modernism whatsoever, because that will lead to consistency in what they say and what they do. How can a priest say he loves Jesus Christ when he lets his parish look like and sound like a club? When he will let people denigrate his parish by the way they act and the way they dress in his parish?
How can you say you love Jesus Christ and put him in a plastic baggie and hand it to people so they don't get maybe sick when they leave? Or tell people that they have to put Jesus in their dirty hands? That's the only way you can receive Christ here. My hands are dirty. You touch the doorknobs at the back of the pews when you come in this place. And I get to stand up here and see what happens on the back of these pews when little kids are there. You know, I see with my eyes. I know what goes on. Not to mention that it's just a violation of a break with the perennial practices and teachings of the Catholic Church. And they will say that they're Catholics, and this is traditional. It's just an outgrowth. No, it's not. It's inconsistent to say that you believe in the real presence of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, and then have 70% of your charges say they don't believe that. They don't believe it because you don't act like it, Father. This is the problem at hand. And it is a grave problem because the consequences for if we don't pray for these men, the consequences for modernist influences in the church, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the consequences of this. The gospel reading today cuts off in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 23. And it does not continue tomorrow. Verse 32. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify. Some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Bechariah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all this will come upon this generation. What is Jesus Christ talking about? He said, you say that you're not going to kill the prophets, you're going to kill the Son of God. You are going to be a deicide, Jew. You are going to not only kill prophets, but you're going to kill his Messiah. This is what you're going to do. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you ever spare yourself hell? The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. This is why we need to pray for these men, because he's talking about the authorities of his day. What is going to happen at the judgment when these men are called to account? You know, most people, if you're living a righteous Catholic life, you should shudder at the thought of the judgment. You should shudder at the thought of the judgment because you know your own heart. You know your past. You know what you've done. You know what you do. You know the inconsistencies of your Catholic life. You should shudder at the judgment. How much more should any man who assumes to take on the orders of a priest, because you shudder about your particular foible, he is responsible for your soul. If you shudder at the thought of the judgment, as you should, he should be overwhelmed with fear and trepidation at every footstep and every breath he makes, every word he utters from the pulpit, every time he's there. He should be praying that every time he touches the Blessed Sacrament, that God not consume him. And that he should give thanks every time he lets it go, that God has not consumed him. This is what our Lord is saying. How are you going to avoid the sentence of hell? This is the words of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of love and mercy. But the priesthood, the authorities that he puts in place, it's that important that they maintain faithfulness, not an arbitrary subjective faithfulness of the day, but a faithfulness to the deposit of the faith that has been handed down since Jesus Christ established this church on the back of Peter, his church. This is why we should pray so hard for these men. And I would ask that you would particularly pray for those who are regular attenders at this parish who have gone off and are studying. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.